Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Welcome back. Hour number three, the fastest 3 hours in Internet Talk Radio is right here on the Rod Eklund Show. I am your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunkerized Studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire here on this Tuesday morning, Tuesday, July number 17 in the year of our Lord 2018, more than halfway through the month, the summer month of July here in the northern climes of New England. And experiencing a rather muggy day. It's supposed to be a little bit warm today as well. Hopefully the rain, what little, well, I don't think it's going to cool off any. I think that it was a quick thunder boomer, drop some rain, and I think that's just going to add to the mugginess. And don't get me wrong, I like heat. I like it to be in the 80s. I just don't like high humidity to go along with it. It just gets sticky. You know, really. It really is sticky, sticky, icky. And of course you have these dark skies and you got threats of thunder boomers, so even people can't go to the beach or something like that, to the lake or the rivers or the ocean, because, you know, everybody's told to get out of the water for obvious reason. You know, because lightning tends to hit bodies of water, and you really don't want to be wet in a body of water when electricity courses. That's why bathtubs and things like hair dryers and toasters don't go very well together. Just saying. You know, they even do that. Did you know that there's a new Goosebumps movie coming out this fall? Goosebumps Halloween or something like that. Goosebumps 2 Halloween, whatever. I never really got into Goosebumps. I have my personal views on that kind of stuff, but R.L. Stine has wrote more than 60 of those books. Rowling of children horror novels. I mean, I get they're short books. They're not really picture books, but they're short books. You know, what are they for, the preteen set? Really, and he wrote more than 60 of them. He sold like 400 million copies of these things, and now he's making little kid movies with them. Yeah, if you're into that sort of thing. I'm not a huge Halloween fan anyway. I'm not. It's more, you know how Halloween has become such a big, it's become, as far as spending is concerned, it's number two right behind Christmas. More people spend more money on Halloween parties, decor, whatever, than any other holiday except for Christmas. And I've always had a problem with that, because it got this way simply because we had a bunch of people who didn't want to grow up. Yeah, millennials, really. They didn't want to grow up, so they began, you know, they take their child. You know, most people, they or most generations, they remember their childhood fondly. But they move on. They grow up. They put their childish ways aside. Millennials didn't put their... Well, baby boomers kind of Well, I wouldn't say childhood for baby boomers. They just didn't want to let their youth go. And baby boomers led this whole anti-aging thing. And that led them to raise their kids to not want to grow up at all. We got the millennials, and they don't. They still haven't. I mean, they're leading edge of millennials are, what, 37, 38 years old, and they still sound like they're in high school. I mean, it's that millennial accent, it drives me insane. I don't know how many times I've mentioned it. It's really annoying. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, if you don't know what the millennial accent is, just listen to Mark Zuckerberg talk. That's the millennial. You'll know quickly what I'm talking about. It's annoying. It really is. It's almost like, yeah, the millennial accent to me is like fingers in a chalkboard to some other people. It's that grating. I don't know why, but it bugs the hell out of me. It really does. Well, because it mostly means that these people haven't grown. Because, you know, you have a way of speaking when you're a child, and then when you grow up and become an adult, that goes away. The problem with millennials is they didn't grow up. And now that they're in their mid to late 30s, you know, they're having kids too, and they're kids raising kids. That's a scary thought. Speaking of millennials, we've got a millennial here. She's on the trailing end of millennials. She's 28? Yeah, so she's not trailing in. The socialist darling, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or Cortz. What did they get? Cortz? C-O-R-T-Z? I thought it was Cortez. C-O-R-T-E-Z. Any case, a little typo there. It's from Gateway. Gateway pundit misspelled Cortez. Just saying. And look, I'm not even a good speller. And I picked that one up. Pretty obvious. That you can't miss. I don't know how the hell you. And it's your headline. How the hell you misspell that? Any case, socialist darling Ocasio-Cortez trashes Israel. Calls him occupiers of Palestine. And then, in the same video while she's being interviewed, then really actually admits she doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. But this is after she, you know, she struggles to try to inform the interviewer about what she means. And then she's, I don't know what I'm talking about. Are you kidding me? Because it's all based on sound bites. It's nothing real there. It's all based on this wonderful stuff that people on the left have been in the media. Have been, oh, Israel is just terrible. They're bad. They're bad. They're bad. Why are they bad? Because they're bad. They're Zionists. Really? What are they? Well, Israel's bad because, you know, they don't want Arabs to take them down. What? Israel's bad because it wants to defend themselves, defend their right to exist. That's bad. Yeah. According to some people, that's a bad thing. Because they occupy Palestine. I don't know how many times I've gone over that with people on this program. There's no such thing as Palestine as a nation. No, it was created in order to appease the Arab world when they brought back Israel. Now understand, the end of World War II, the British and the start of the United Nations did not invent and create Israel. They brought back Israel. And even then, they didn't even give them back the old Israelite boundaries. They shrunk it. So, I mean, if you look at the ancient maps, you know, of what Israel actually occupied, they've lost, what, 25, 30, about a third of the size of the country is missing. Or is not in Israelite hands, I should say. According to the original maps, historical maps. So they didn't even give Israel even all back all Israel land. Historical, traditional Israel land. Well, they weren't there. Well, they didn't have a choice. The ancient Roman Empire, the Italians, basically, the Romans, got tired of the Jews being a thorn in their side, so they dispersed them to the far corners of the Roman Empire. That's why you got Jews all over the place. Just saying. Should say Hebrews. That's why you have Hebrews all over the place. So she doesn't know what she's talking about, but socialist darling Ocasio-Cortez, she trashes Israel, calls them occupiers of Palestine. She sent shockwaves through the Democrat Party when she defeated the fourth most powerful Democrat in the House of Representatives, Joe Crowley. And they're still kind of the Democrat powers that be, the old guard. Well, Crowley's much like Hillary Clinton. He thought he had it in the bag. He didn't have anything to work, and he didn't do any work, and he got stunned. So Democratic Socialists of America support no borders. Now, this is coming from Ocasio-Cortez. It's what she said in an interview. And this is what people like Nancy Pelosi want to try to pull away from. Well, look, they gave rise to these people. Do you understand? Do they understand this? They obviously don't. The Democrat Party, the current crop of people in power, like Pelosi and Schumer and Waters and a few others that are older, they put into motion what they're getting now. They educated these kids and they indoctrinated them into thinking this kind of crap. And now that they've come out loud and they've come out of the closet espousing this, it's taken all these wonderful Democrats by shock and awe. Well, we don't stand for that, really. This is what you've been teaching them, and you didn't expect them to actually come after you for it? Well, according to Ocasio-Cortez, Democratic Socialists of America support no borders, no profit, no prisons, and no cash bail. Wait, what are you going to do with all the criminals? You don't put them in jail? What do you do to them? You don't put a murderer in jail? What do you mean no jails? No, what do you mean no prisons? No profit? Well, that's not socialist, people. That's communism. Look, she said it. I told you what democratic socialist really means. And now she just admitted it on the air in an interview with Firing Line on PBS. Cortez said, yeah, democratic socialists read communist. Don't believe in borders. Well, you know, the communists, you know, USSR, China, they believe in borders. But they don't believe in profit. Yeah, because, you know, everything's supposed to be benign. Even, I've pointed this out, I don't know how many times, but even so-called nonprofits have to make a profit in order to stay in business. Yeah, it's just the way it is. And then, of course, she, in typical socialist fashion, unloads on Israel during this interview. I also think that what people are starting to see, at least with the occupation of Palestine, is the increasing crisis of humanitarian condition. And that to me, is where I tend to come from on this issue. What the hell does that mean? And there's that word, to me, are those two words. Again, millennials use that a lot. To me, it's not about you. So, we have people like this that are running for office. And she's not the only one. And the Democrats have had quite a few of these so-called democratic socialists. Most of them haven't won primaries or elections. But give them time. They're all young. Late 20s, early 30s. Give them time. This is another one of those things that Putin is laughing his ass off about. Well, I don't got to do much. Yeah, Putin is like, I don't got to do much. All I got to do is just put up a couple of ads and watch you tear yourselves apart. And this is exactly what we're doing. Did you ever think that in your entire life of being an American that you would find yourself fighting other Americans, mostly of another generation, but fighting other Americans over the Constitution. Not arguing on the micro elements of the Constitution, but fighting and arguing about even having it in the first place. Oh, there should be no prisons, there should be no borders, you should have no rights, you shouldn't make a profit. Hey, what the hell is this? Everybody should be able to come to America. And what are we going to do with them? If nobody's allowed to make a profit, if there's no profit, and these people are coming here for a living, what are we going to do with them? If you don't have a profit, you have no tax base. If you have no tax base, you cannot pay for all these immigrants, either they be legal or illegal. The mentality, there is no mentality there when it comes to this sort of thing. When it comes to thinking, there is no thinking. They just spout off a bunch of words that seem to sound good and make them feel better, even though when they don't mean a damn thing, like when she says, I also think that, and this is a quote. Let me read to you exactly what she says. This is Ocasio-Cortez's exact quote on PBS. I will put no emphasis anywhere. I'll just read it. You put the emphasis where you want. I also think that what people are starting to see, at least with the occupation of Palestine, is the increasing crisis of humanitarian condition. And that, to me, is where I tend to come from on this issue. What was she bloviating there? It made absolutely no sense, but to her, it sounded like she was very smart, and she sounded very smart and intelligent to herself, and it made her feel good to say that, oh yeah, Israel is an occupier of Palestine. That's where I'm coming from. And that, to me, Palestine is being occupied by Israel. I wish I was making this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Well, I guess there are other people, there are judges that believe that maybe we should have open borders, and they're trying to keep the Trump administration from, just the Trump administration, not Obama. Obama could deport people all the, remember when Obama was touting, the Obama administration was touting about all the people they deported? Oh yeah, the left was, they were loving it. See, Obama can, he can be tough on illegal immigration. Look at all the people he deported. Now Trump is following the same venue. He's always, how oppressive, how evil and mean. We should stop him. I mean, honestly, let's see, what do we got here? A Miami Democrat. Now, this is funny. A Miami Democrat heads to Cuba on the congressional campaign trail. Yes, this is a story out of the Miami Herald. Amid polarizing sentiments in Miami over changing diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Cuba, a congressional candidate and state lawmaker elected to represent Little Havana is visiting, well, the real Havana. Yeah, David Richardson is in Cuba on a two-day listening tour. Described as a mission to better connect with the large constituency of Florida's 27th congressional district, which he hopes to represent following the retirement of Republican U.S. Representative Ilena Ross-Lehtinen. The Democrat says he wants to learn more about economic and societal developments in Cuba. Following Barack Obama's 24 decision to roll back some trade and travel restrictions set into place nearly 60 years ago, following Fidel Castro's rise to power. So he wants to go to Cuba in order to understand America? Am I reading that right? He's currently an elected official, and he's running for national office, as a U.S. representative, but it's national. He's going to go to D.C. if he gets elected. So he's running a national office campaign by going to Cuba to get to understand Americans, I guess. Well, that's the way it's written here. Yeah, he's going from Little Havana to Real Havana in order to understand how Little Havanas believe and live, and wants to see how it's still a shithole in Cuba. Can somebody inform this guy? He doesn't need to go down there to know that it's still a shithole. Half of his campaign says he will not visit with anyone from the Cuban government, however, while in the country. Basically, a half a century of isolation did not achieve progress for everyday Cubans. No, it didn't. So I fully support a position of engagement with Cuban civil society. So says Richardson. He's a state representative, David Richardson, and he's running for Congress in 2018 to try and win a Democratic seat. I guess he wants Little Havana to be more like Big Havana. I don't get it. Now let's go down to Cuba to learn more about America. Well, you could say that he's trying to understand what the Cuban Americans are thinking of, I guess. I'm tired of trying to figure out these Democrats now. All I know is that they have a tremendous open dislike and hatred for the Constitution and the general population of this country now. That's all it is. Pure self-loathing. We'll be back.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, But now, there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2 equals perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
The Amazon's rainforest is being cut down so fast that by 2030, 55% of it could be completely wiped out. The Earth's forests can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm a leftist elite Hollywood a-hole? If so, good news. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College is now open, featuring such courses as unemployment is not paid vacation. No, Americans don't want to spend $19 for an order of French fries and the ever popular shut the hell up. Why, just listen to this big time celebrity endorsement.
I'm not Rosie O'Donnell, and I think this school's offensive, sexist, and racist.
And I think you're a giant a-hole who needs to shut the hell up. Hey, we teach a course in that. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College, where being an a-hole is not a guarantee you'll be an A-student.
Bring the rain.
Some news for all you people who love diamonds. We'll get into that before the program ends. It's not good news for you diamond lovers, by the way. But first, there is some interesting stuff about the NFL. Now, I don't know how they're spinning this to be this way. According to Deadspin.com, all the controversy in the world can't stop NFL revenue from hitting a new all-time high. Now, I don't know how that's possible when their ratings were significantly down, but let's just go over this a little bit. According to Deadspin.com, amid all the hand-wringing and propagandizing over the damage done to the NFL's popularity by players protesting during pregame national anthem ceremonies, the important available numbers continue to paint a picture of a league that is invulnerable to controversy. This is what they're writing. The NFL's ratings are up in relation to general TV viewership trends. I don't know exactly what that means when their ratings have fallen. Tremendous. You can see all the open seats.
in many of the stadiums. What the hell is this? The NFL's ratings are up in relation to general TV viewership trends, and now this. The NFL distributed more than $8 billion, a new record, via revenue sharing in 2017, per a report from ESPN's Darren Rovell. It's a 4.9% increase in national revenues attributed to an escalator in the league's TV deals and the league's Thursday night football package becoming more valuable. Now, we saw all last year that Monday night and Thursday night football ratings were tanking. And we also saw that in many of the teams that there were vast number of unsold or unfilled seats in the stands. And now they're telling us that the ratings are up and their revenues are up. We had advertisers that were abandoning them. I'm not getting this. I'm not sure I don't know how they are twisting this to be such a positive. Hey, if you want to kneel during the national anthem, Americans don't care. Well, we did care. Well, I know this is going to piss off a lot of people. They're going to say, wait a minute, we protested by not going to the games, and we protested by not buying the products or services that were advertised. We protested by not going to the games themselves and buying the tickets or watching on television. And now you're telling us, based on the ratings, are up in relation to general TV viewership trends? No, the viewership trends are not to watch network television. This is why cable television or cable companies, TV companies, are now getting into the cell phone business. Because people are watching TV, basically, on their cell phones. And so people are cutting the cord. They're watching Netflix. They're watching Hulu. They're watching Amazon Prime. They're watching, not necessarily ESPN, because they've lost a lot of subscribers. But they're watching subscription channels like ESPN and various other subscription-only channels. They're not watching cable TV. They're not watching networks. So I don't know where this relation to general TV viewership is coming into play. And I don't understand how the hell the revenues are up 4.9% when there's nobody in the stands. And where are they getting I don't know where they're getting the $8 billion. Obviously, they're getting it from somewhere. But if they want to think, if they want to tell themselves that this whole thing is not an issue, then go ahead and let them do it again this year and see what happens. I don't think Americans are going to put up with it. Nah, I could be wrong. Maybe we just want to watch our football so bad that we'll be willing. But hey, the other thing is don't we have a real competitive football league coming? Was it next year? 2019 and 2020 season? Do we have a real football league that's coming in? I think whatever happened to that McMahon from WWE? Wasn't he going to be kicking off that? I don't think the NFL could get away with what they got away with the USFL. Remember when the NFL was found guilty of basically collusion and monopolistic practices against the USFL, even though the USFL won like $3 a dollar per year. That was really dumb. I don't think they can get away with it this time. Because the sentiment on the NFL now is a lot different than it was back then. But McMahon wants to have a new NFL competitor. And it's not going to be, arena football is not the same as regular football. There's going to be regular, 100-yard TD on both ends type of football, not like arena football. I don't know where they're playing. There's probably a lot of stadiums that they could play. Especially, you could put teams in markets that don't have teams right now, but would like to have teams. That would happen. Yeah, if you want to make it a really international thing like baseball, you could add a couple Canadian teams. I'd be up for that. Because there's a CFL, the Canadian Football League. I wouldn't, you know, having a professional Toronto football team in a professional American football league, I'd be up for that. Toronto might be the only. Well, I don't know. They got the Canadian Football League, the CFL. So maybe they could utilize some of those stadiums longer if they added to this. And it could be trouble for the NFL. It could be. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see for this year to see what direction that the NFL goes in and how many people actually decide to watch them and come on board. I'm not. As long as we still have this stupidity about kneeling, and now you've got the players union talking about, well, you know, we're not really employees of the NFL, and you're violating our rights. Until the NFL just says, you know what, you're employees of each NFL team, you do what we tell you to do like any other corporation, or you find another job. Your work's in place. Plain and simple. That's the way it works. You know, why these people think that they're so special kind of ticks me off. You don't get to have special rights over other Americans simply because you make too much money for what you do. But until they straighten that out, I'm not watching the NFL. I'll go another year without it. I didn't really miss it last year. I won't be missing it this year. And I like watching football. I like watching the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I won't be watching. I will not be supporting that way. If they're going to be as long as they're going to be anti-American and the players too, then I'm not going to be pro NFL. I'm just not going to do it. Scientists just found, I can't read this. This is a ridiculous number. It's 100,000 million. What comes after trillion? Well, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 comma placeholders after trillion. So what is that number? 150, literally 150 bajillion, gazillion pounds worth, which is probably about, you know, almost 300 gazillion dollars. Scientists just found that much in value, what they believe in value, in diamonds. I've often told people that diamonds are a made-up commodity. Diamonds are actually far more common than we're led to believe. Look, we use diamonds in industrial applications. Yeah, you don't use a precious gem in industrial applications unless you got a lot of it. We got a lot of diamonds. The Beers family and the other family that have cornered the market on diamonds, they purposely restrict jewelry quality. And it used to be that there was only a certain kind of quality jewelry that was jewelry quality. You know, precious stone quality. And then, you know, you had diamonds that had discoloration, and they didn't want that. And now they decided, oh, no, we're going to sell that. We're going to call them chocolate diamonds and banana diamonds. And we're going to take the color and call them a different color, give them a trendy name. Like brown diamonds were always crushed up and used in industrial application. Now they're cut, and they're called chocolate diamonds. Are you kidding me? We're buying this crap? Well, there aren't many of them, right? No. Diamonds are very plentiful. Don't tell the Hatton Garden gang. Scientists just unearthed an eye-watering hoard of diamonds so valuable that it would completely destroy the world's economy. Now, they wouldn't be valuable at all. This is from the metro.co.uk, by the way. You got to understand, Value is due to its rarity and its demand. There is a quadrillion ton of diamonds buried in the cratonic roots in continents all around the world. The only tiny catch is that this treasure trove is currently 100 miles or so down, which is deeper than any drill has ever penetrated, according to researchers. And indeed, it would be very difficult to get to it. Because there's a lot of heat and pressure on drill bits to try to go that deep. Well, we haven't drilled past the Marianas Trench in depth. What's the deepest borehole we've ever dug? It's not that far down, based on the overall size of the planet. Mariana's Trench is 7 miles down. So I don't think we've actually drilled much past where the Mariana's Trench is, into the Earth's crust. I mean, that's the pressure and the heat and everything that's involved in that. It's just we don't currently have the drill technology to do that. I have no doubt that at some point we probably will. But will we want to? If diamonds won't be that useful, I don't know, maybe diamonds will someday, maybe the diamonds that we find down there will end up being, like Star Trek, the crystals that power things. Maybe these things will be a power source. I don't know. Well, even then, you still have a limited supply, but in any case, that's a lot. So 50 million carats, given that a ton of diamonds, I'll just think about this, a ton of diamonds is 50 million carats worth at least 3,000 pounds each. So there you have it. Researchers estimate that the roots may have 1% to 2% diamond, meaning that about a quadrillion tons of diamonds are buried. There are some people that actually thought that our core was a diamond. The Earth's core. It's not liquid metal, but diamond. We don't know what the hell's down there. We just don't. It's going to be a while before we actually, figure it out and know exactly what's down there. God forbid we actually try to drill down there. That's going to be that'll be... Somebody's going to try to do it, though. Like the movie The Core. Although I don't think it's going to be quite that easy, and we're not going to be able... You're not going to be able to build a machine to bore it through the crust like that. But and at least be able to withstand that type of heat and pressure. Think about the premise of it. Lava basically melts everything that's on the planet. If it doesn't burn, it melts. And you're going to build a machine out of metal that doesn't melt. It's going to take an awful lot of cooling energy in order to do that, to keep the metal from melting when lava touches it. But okay. I know some people are going to think Rod, that's not possible. Not possible. You can't do that. No, you can't. Finally today... Here's a story that was a little random and weird. Young Republicans dumped. Let me finish the story. Young Republicans dumped at a random gas station by anti-Trump Uber driver. What? Yeah. It seems it ain't easy. This is from the Daily Caller, and it seems that it ain't easy being a conservative these days when you're trying to take an Uber ride. New reports are popping up every week about conservatives being denied service at restaurants and now even from a ride-sharing company solely because of their political beliefs. Six Republican campaign volunteers, all women, have a similar story. They say they were kicked out of an Uber this past Saturday in Raleigh, North Carolina, as their driver told them, "Welcome to the resistance." Mary Russell, a volunteer, and Chris Godby, the executive director of the Young Republicans National Federation, sat down with the Daily Caller to share their horrifying experience, their crime, talking politics amongst themselves in front of their Uber driver, who apparently didn't agree with their political views. Now, the Daily Caller reached out to Uber. A spokesman said they were looking into the situation, but Republican Congressman Mark Meadows heard about the incident and took to Twitter to offer a $100 gift card for Lyft to the six ladies involved in the incident. America Uncensored. You can't even get an Uber ride, I guess, nowadays, unless, you know, to be blunt, the most unaccepting, the most racist, bigoted, phobic type of people in the country right now are leftists. You know, I laugh every time I see these stupid stickers in the back of somebody's car that say coexist. I laugh because they're not about coexisting. Not at all. If you do not believe what they believe, then they don't want to talk to you. They don't want you to be able to do anything. They don't want you to go out to eat, be able to go out to eat. They want to deny you all kinds of services. And simply because, you know, you don't believe what they believe, then they honestly believe that they have the ability and the right to deny you peace. So, yeah, we're going to protest you. Oh, okay, to a certain degree, that's fine. You can protest what I stand for, fine. But to disturb an entire neighborhood by blasting, trying to keep me awake by blasting anti-sentiment towards my house when all the neighbors can hear the same thing, that's not called coexistence. That is not protesting. That's a form of terrorism. To tell a person, you know, a Christian is not allowed to deny somebody a gay wedding cake. Oh, no. Not do business with them, because none of them have claimed that. They just said, well, we're not going to make a gay wedding cake. Oh, you can't do that, but God forbid you be a Trump supporter, and then you could be six women out someplace and be led off, you know, at a gas station, you know, God knows where, in the middle of nowhere, because the driver doesn't like your politics. How is that acceptance? How is that coexistence? You just put... Not baking you a gay wedding cake doesn't put your life in danger. Dumping a bunch of women off someplace where they don't know where they are can potentially put them in danger. Simply because you didn't like that they're Republican or talking conservative politics in your car. Look, I've heard, you know, I've driven Uber before. I mean, because I wanted to find out what it's like. They're a sponsor of this program from time to time, and it looks like we'll be doing Uber again shortly in the coming months. But look, I've had people in my car that I didn't agree with. I've driven Hillary Clinton people in my car. Yeah, that's how far back I was an Uber driver, actual driver. You know, 2 years ago. They've actually been campaign people, Clinton campaign people. And I didn't kick him out of my car. I just happily said, you know, well, you know, hey, I'm glad that you're participating. I don't happen to agree with Hillary's politics, but, you know, that's because they say, are you going to vote for Hillary? No, be honest, no. I didn't lie to him. No, I won't. I won't vote for Hillary. I don't agree with her politics. And I know I was in danger because, you know, you, at that time, people, the way they rated people on Uber was very, very important. I guess it's not so much they changed all that algorithm stuff as far as passengers being able to rate a driver. But, hey, I didn't kick anybody out. And now you get a person who a male driver kicking females out of his car because he doesn't like their politics. Again, only a leftist would do that. Because a man is supposed to want to protect women, not potentially put them in danger. A man is supposed to be able to check his feelings, not have them butt hurt by a bunch of girls. It's very telling. You have a male, an American male, who is so hurt and offended by an American female because they chose Trump over, I don't know, Hillary or any other Democrat. It's hilarious stuff, folks. I mean, it's dangerous for one, but it's hilarious. It is, and I'm told that number is quadrillion, by the way. That very large number is quadrillion. I'm not a mathematician. I don't know what comes. I don't know all the numbers that come after trillion. Is zillion one of them? I don't think zillion is a real number. I don't know. You just start talking about numbers that are just far, far too large to comprehend. Most people can't really truly comprehend what the number trillion, 1 trillion is, let alone 100 trillion. You get beyond that, and it's just. If you're out there looking at the number of stars out there, now what we see on this planet, because of the atmosphere and light pollution and other conditions, it limits the number of stars that we can see. But when you get out into outer space and those limitations are removed, and what astronauts say is up there, and they're taking pictures, you know, Hubble is taking the sky around us is just, it's lit up. You can't put a number on the number of stars that are out there, and potentially, you know, each star could be a potential galaxy, solar system, and galaxy, and all that kind of stuff. In any case, we're out of time for today. We got it all in today. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow it is Wednesday, which means it is Intel Report Day, and I hear we got a really good one on tap. So you're not going to want to miss that one. Hopefully Spreaker and Microsoft won't try to screw things up here. But until then, have a wonderful day, folks. Tuesday, we'll be back here tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, or at the regular time. Until then, thanks for tuning in. I'm out.
Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A shameless politician always plays her cards right. Got a crew for the fight on the airwaves. Lap dogs in the press keep the mouths tight. Cause a Clinton never needs to explain what, why it is, what they done, or with who. A real Clinton knows that they're entitled, and you don't get to know what they do.
What difference does it make?
For a Clinton, what's loaded in some fat apple file? A Clinton plays the victim for promotion. A Clinton kills it off with a smile. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A server full of secrets ain't no thing. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Nothing ever hits with a sting.